This is Tasting Room Radio, year 17. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We started this show in a studio in a barn on the Naramata Bench. We find ourselves now on Vancouver Island in a barn 17 years later. Two friends, one just met and one I've been talking to for quite a while. He's been mentoring me for a long time. His name is John Skinner. He is the visionary behind Painted Rock, Okanagan Falls, overlooking Skaha Lake, making world-class wines, literally from the get-go. He surrounded himself with amazing talent, starting with the planting by Valeria Tate and by mentoring in the vineyards by Elan Sutra. John Skinner knows what he's doing. So he's our first guest. The second is Vijay Gandhi, Canadian, living in San Francisco. And because she's a fan of Canadian wines, specifically BC, she's decided to bring those wines to Americans. It's a huge task. First of all, we couldn't fulfill all of her wine needs. We just didn't make enough. But now we do. And now we have the visionaries to look ahead and go, I can do this. We can sell wine in the States. So Vijay Gandhi is our second guest. And she'll be talking about her company called Cascadia Wine Merchants. Cascadia with a K, based in San Francisco. Those are the two guests on this edition of Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble, Charme de Lille. And Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. And a reminder from Unsworth that the month of August is Wine Festival in the Cowichan Valley. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. He's John Skinner. He is the proprietor of Painted Rock on a high bluff overlooking everything. Skaha Lake, for one.
Yeah.
So, John, my basic question would be, how are things at Painted Rock? But I know that you're bottling, right? So what are you bottling?
We're bottling all of our reds today. Not today, but this week. First started today. It's the 2021 vintage that we're bottling.
Yep.
It's just fabulous. Honestly, bright acidity. Alain Sutra was here a week and a half ago, and he said, most elegant wine we've ever produced. You know what? By an age, we're almost 20 years in the ground. Hmm. Almost 20 years since we planted. So we get replicatable flavor profiles year over year, because as the roots were going down, you get things that would change over time. And now, ultimately, I would bet within the next 5 years, we will know what the replicatable blend of the Red Icon is going to be year over year, because it's just getting so similar in a good way. Pretty exciting.
Did you once show me, maybe I imagined this, on your iPhone, you showed me the roots. You wanted to know how far down they were in terms of the water level.
We did, yeah.
And then that's when I realized, when those roots get down there, they know who they are, they know what they are, and that shows in the fruit.
You know, when we walked the vineyard with the land, because of all the damage that's happened in the industry this year, we haven't been that damaged. And I said to Alan, I said, how'd we dodge this bullet? Like, I know that we only got down to minus 21 where we are, and it was minus 31 elsewhere.
Yeah.
But he attributed a lot of the success and consistency in our vineyard to the fact that when he started to work with us, right after we planted, he implemented a rule with us that we would spade every second row every year. So alternating to cut off any horizontal roots. And after about 10 years, we excavated a trench beside our Cabernet Franc, and those roots were so big and so, or like they just went straight down. And we're on a deep layer of alluvial silt. So I think that really saved us, because those roots are way, way down there.
So, John, now that I picked up the estate-grown Chardonnay, I find, of course, I was drinking a 2022.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about your 22 growing season, and then we'll talk about the new one.
We had a fabulous crop in 2022. So we'd been in a couple of vintages where we went down. We were down like 10 or 15%, and that was like 2019, 2020, 2021, they were all kind of down. 2022 was just, it's probably the second biggest vintage we ever had, and perfect balance throughout the vineyard. So it's going to stand the test of time. What you're going to notice on that Chardonnay, very interestingly, is I made a change. I was invited to a dinner at 67 Pall Mall in London with Jancis Robinson about a year ago. And at the very end, we always show about eight Canadian wines paired with world leaders. And I was bringing our Cabernet Franc, and it was matched with a really nice one out of Loire Valley. At the end of the dinner, there were eight wines, so 16 wines in total, eight courses. Just before I flew from Vancouver to London for this thing, I got a call from Mark Nadeau, the organizer, and he said, "Hey, John, we've got a Montrachet, but we didn't pair it with a Canadian. Will you bring an aged Chardonnay?" And I never think of our Chardonnay with respect to age, because we only do 500 cases of it. It's 4% of the size of our vineyard, because we ripen red fruit. We study this property 9 ways Sunday. There's one cool part of our property at the north near the creek, so that gets Chardonnay. But because it's 500 cases, I don't think of the cellarability, and it just wasn't there. So it was, I want to compete with the best wines in the world. We used the best cork. We used the best everything for the first seven or eight vintages. And then I was getting lobbied quite a bit from our industry. "Oh, you should put a screw cap on it. You should put a screw cap on it." Well, for that dinner, I brought a 2017. It had a screw cap. At the end of the dinner, one of the attendees said to Jancis, "What's the wine of the night?" And she pointed to me. And I said, "Our Cabernet Franc." And she said, "The Chardonnay." 2022, we went back to cork. I want everybody to cellar these wines for 5 years, because it was extraordinary. The color, it was richer yellow.
Yeah.
The aromatics were fabulous. I didn't even recognize the wine. It just needs to lay down.
That's two of the nicest words you could ever say, rich, yellow, a nice rich yellow. That's just beautiful. It tells you not only is it gorgeous, it's going to get even better.
It was markedly better than I remembered it. And it was just maturity, and it's respect. So what we've done with this vintage is I'm holding back a bunch of the Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to re-release it, because I think it's just it. I wasn't paying it homage. I wasn't respecting it the way I should. And going forward, it's a different animal.
And you don't clobber it with French oak. 6 months, 85%. Yep, 85% French oak, and then 15% stainless steel, right?
Yep. And you know what? When people ask Alain, "Is it oaked?" I remember when we were at this dinner in London, he was asked, and he says respectfully, and he's very adamant. It's not. Is it French? It's which French Cooper is it? Which they have their certain styles. And he is so adamant about this. I just love working with the guy. My philosophy in business is know what you don't know and hire well. And if I did anything well on this journey, I hired well.
You did. I love the texture of that Chardonnay. I didn't know the price point. What is it?
$45.
Okay. Painted Rock, John Skinner is the proprietor and the man who is the visionary behind it. Isn't this the first one where you've made enough so that you can supply your wine club members and we normal people out here, the great unwashed?
Yeah, because it was that good vintage, big vintage. And we were really lucky, because it got really, you know, I'm so respectful of our wine club, and my daughter and team have done such a fabulous job building it. But it is really great to be able to have, you know, enough. And 2022 was a, you know, good crop load, balanced, fabulous. But not only that, we planted a new planting block. It's right beside our tasting room. And we did that about 5 or 6 years ago. And at the very beginning, when we did this planting, we planted two clones of every variety. And when Alain Sutre saw what our planting strategy was, he flew out, came from France to meet me, because he just loved whatever the advice I was getting. He said it was really good. He wanted to be involved. So a number of years ago, I'd left an acre and a half beside the tasting room vacant in case one day we wanted to build an inn or something. And over time, I just thought, I want these plants to sleep at night. I don't want people around. I just want to, you know, we are what we are. And I want, so I turned to Alain and I said, "Alain, I think I want to plant that acre and a half beside the tasting room." And his eyes lit up and he said, "Oh, I got an idea." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "When I first saw your planting strategy, I didn't want to tell you, but there was one thing missing in it." And I said, "What was that?" And he said, "In your Chardonnay, you've got the two primary cones that I really respected, but there's kind of a secret weapon that they used in Burgundy." And it's I think it's clone 7, and they put it in a warmer part of the vintage, and it's generally like 15 or 20%. It's clone 7. That's about, and the one that you would just experience is about the third vintage, where we have that in our Chardonnay, and it just increases the complexity. But anyway, Alain's a gem. It's fun working with him.
He's John Skinner. He is the proprietor of Painted Rock. I was having a look at your 2020 icon with the spice and cherry notes and all that stuff, and 30% new oak. And you talk about cellaring. Please cellar this wine. Yes, have a taste, but then cellar the second or third or fourth bottle that you might have. 39 Merlot, 31 Cab Franc, 14 Petit Verdot, 12 Cab, 14 Malbec. The other thing is your rosé is almost exactly the same: Merlot, Malbec, Cab Franc, Petit Verdot, and Cab. It's a Sagnier, yes?
You know what? It is, yeah. And actually, we've transitioned a little bit. This is thinking on our feet. We had the last rosé that we released, this vintage, is my favorite by far. And what happened? We were slightly overcropped in our Malbec, and typically we're going to drop that down. We want to be exactly on the tonnage that we want per acre, like
Sure.
3.5 tons, right there. Well, we were overcropped. And it was a little late in the season, and Alain was there. And Alain said, "What I want you to do is leave all the fruit on until," and he gave us the exact Brix that he wanted.
Yeah.
It's going to be a few weeks before we harvest the rest. But he said, "I want you to take that off, and that's going into the rosé." Well, it's going to be an annual thing that we do now because it just was a game changer. It's just so lovely, and it's bright, and it's low alcohol, and it just ticks all the boxes, dry as can be.
He is John Skinner. He is a proprietor at Painted Rock, looking down on Skaha Lake. I see, by the way, special events. I might as well get these in while I remember. September the 16th is the only one I can talk about because everything else has been done. Chef Chris Van Hooydonk.
Oh, he's fabulous.
Five
He's just
courses, five
killer good.
courses.
He's the best complement to the culinary scene
Yeah.
up here imaginable, because what he's doing at Backyard is just extraordinary. And he's taken one for the team with all of his issues with the zoning and all that
I
kind of
saw
stuff.
that.
But
Yeah.
I just love the guy, and I love what he's doing, and I'm honored to work with him.
I don't know who those bureaucrats are, but they drive me crazy.
Just
Painted Rock, friends, is what we're talking about. John Skinner is the proprietor and the man who is the visionary behind it. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble Charme de Lille. And Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. And a reminder from Unsworth that the month of August is Wine Festival in the Cowichan Valley. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Estate Winery on the Naramata Bench, one of the originals. They are thrilled to announce that their 2016 Mosaic recently received an outstanding 95 points from the one and only John Schreiner, Dean of Canadian Wine Writers. Mosaic, made with five of the six varieties allowed in the Bordeaux region of France: Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. You can find all the details at hillsidewinery.ca. Our guest is John Skinner, who is the visionary behind the smashing winery called Painted Rock, overlooking Skaha Lake in the Okanagan Valley. Can we talk about your Syrah?
Yes,
White
that's the one
pepper.
that makes me look like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because I'm often asked to do a pairing, and generally I'll always say, "Oh yeah, bring the Syrah," because it's anything with pepper or spice or big steaks or anything like that.
Anything.
It's just so easy to pair.
Or not, or nothing at all.
Or nothing at all. Yeah,
It's not a sipper, friends. This is not a sipper. This is an engaged wine. It's the 2020 Syrah from Painted Rock. Is there any left? Is it sold out?
It's a decent vintage. It'll be released to the wine club in September.
Right.
But it's honestly, yeah, decent quantities, which is making our businesses happy.
I saw it got a night you and you and you tapped on it, a 93 from Decanter for your Syrah.
Yeah.
White pepper, black fruit, ripe black fruit. Deep rich, it's black, it's pitch, it's just You know, just smelling it, you know you're off on a journey. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I don't know if I ever told you the story, but the two clones that we planted, clone 99 and 100,
Okay.
one is generally delicate and floral, and the other is spicy and masculine. And I remember at the very beginning, I turned to Alain and I said, "Alain, would you con why don't we keep them separate? Call one Syrah and one Shiraz because they're so different." And without missing a beat, he looks at me. He says, "John, 1 + 1 = 3." It what it does is it the delicate floral one imparts this beautiful aromatic on it, and it diffuses some of the peppers, and it's just magic. So I always encourage people, wine club members, when they come up and I take them for a barrel tasting, I always taste them separately to give them that experience because it is really remarkable. But that just says that Valerie Tait and our planning strategy was just brilliant. She did a fabulous job. We walked the vineyard together a couple of years ago, Alain and I. I said, "Alain, would you change anything?" And he said, "Not a plant." That, oh God, I wouldn't want him to say, "Yeah, pull out
That's
them all."
fantastic. It is. Painted Rock, friends, is what we're talking about. John Skinner is the proprietor and the man who is the visionary behind it. Wine Club picks up August the 11th. I'm looking at some of your events. I wish I'd been there for Chris Van Hooydonk, and I September the 16th is firing off on all cylinders here. The Merlot, are you bottling Merlot now?
Yes, everything's this week. So it'll be Icon, Merlot, Malbec. What else? Syrah. And yeah, you know what? One thing I'll point out to your audience, our wine club. What I always, I if we produced X, it's X less quite a bit because I had half of our wine club. Through what we do is we put the wines together in tank for a month and let them all come together. And so for the last month, I've had half of our wine club come up and tasting it out of tank because then you'll know what to order at wine club time and you won't be as tempted to take to try them because you've tried them already. Like the wines are put together finally. So it's always a big advantage. And I always encourage people because we bottle at the end of July. So if you're up middle or early July, come by and do a tank tasting because it'll save you opening bottles that are far too young when you get them from your wine club order.
John, have your wine neighbors been able to survive the December freeze?
It's tough. My immediate neighbors are better off, but I've got some friends who were really hurting. So I've made some overtures to some friends to I've got some equipment that I can help them with. I've got some barrels because typically we sell barrels that are past their prime for us, but there's others that have different models. And I'm going to help out a couple of my buddies that have been generous with me. And fingers crossed, because it's we propagate our clones. So if I can help somebody, I'm going to do it. I'll pick who it's going to be. But we've got a really good industry, and this is a tough time. So it's time we come together. Nature's throwing everything at us right now, but that we're very fortunate in this regard. And I think a lot of it has to do with, well, where we are geographically, but also the fact that we've got about a 7 or 8 degree slope down towards the water. And the fact that that Valerie Tait insisted that we plant east-west and accommodate the air movement over the light was the most important decision I've ever made because I had to decide. We had two people lobbying, one of my consultants saying plant north south, and the other one's saying east west, and Valerie won. And that was the best decision I ever made.
Way to go, Val. Valeria Tate.
Yeah.
She's in the middle of gold, making gold, my goodness. Painted Rock, friends, is what we're talking about. John Skinner is the proprietor and the man who is the visionary behind it. What haven't we talked about, John? The Malbec, for one. We haven't talked about the Cab Franc, for one.
Hey, you know what? The Cab Franc, I'd love to give you some feedback because, you know, if I did anything in this business, I wanted to contribute, to aim highly, you know, and compete with the best in the world. But so I also was quite familiar with Europe and spending time there. And I was advised to get into the London market, get into the European market. So I very quickly learned when you go to Provine and you go to London, you do these events, don't sell it, pour it. Pour it and listen. Because the absolute incredible intelligence and experience that's out there is, I quickly learned, you know what, from some of the, it was particularly at Provine right at the very beginning, was what makes us stand out, and it's the acidity. I didn't realize that it was such an important component of what it is that we produce. But when I did a tasting at Le Chef Enfin in Bordeaux with a fabulous chef sommelier, dear friend. He tasted four of my reds, and he said these are extraordinary. I'm going to take them all, and I was just blown away. Well, then I said, wait, there's a fifth you haven't tried yet, and he said what's that? And I said it's my Cabernet Franc, and he said I've got to stop you there. We've got four other somms that work in this restaurant with you, five somms in one restaurant. And he said, we have an agreement. We buy together. We have an agreement. We will only buy a Cabernet Franc from four regions in the world. And they all happen to be French. And I said, you know, would you just indulge me? So I end up pouring him like a half a glass because I'd already opened the bottle. I'm flying out in 2 hours. I pour him a half a glass. He's living with it for the longest 5 minutes of my life. And then finally takes a sip, puts his glass down. He said, we just found our fifth region. And that to me was, then he explained, he said, we won't even consider trying a Cabernet Franc from California. But what California, warm days, warm nights, round, ripe fruit. Okanagan, warm days, cool night, bright, ripe fruit. And so where are we now? We're in the top restaurants in London with the Cabernet Franc and the bright acidity. We're in top restaurants in Brussels, Cabernet Franc with bright acidity. Like it was just a heck of a lesson.
Let me take this one step further because I had a conversation last week with Vijay Gandhi.
Yeah. Yeah.
At Cascadia, who has begun this heroic effort to get Canadian wines into the States readily available and put to your front door. None of the BS going on, just like everybody else. And she's telling me she's been having a dialogue with you. Trying to keep stock is the hardest part of the gig. I'm going to give her a profile as much as I can and work with her and see how we can move this forward. It's a great concept. I mean, as I tried to explain to her, I said, you guys headed for London. You wanted that wine fan to know. You wanted those restaurants to know you existed. Does the same thing apply to the States?
Totally does. It's more difficult, though. So what I did was just before COVID, I moved a pallet of wine to New York. And like I've been working with Vijay, and Vijay's fabulous. And she represents us. She can distribute to, I think it's 38 states. So that's my go-to if somebody wants to buy a single order. But I wanted to get my wines in front of Eric Asimov, New York Times.
Yep.
I wanted to get it in front of, I know some restaurateurs in New York, and I want the wines there because when I first started, I was one of the organizers the first Canada House events we were doing in London. Sure. That was David Gleave. He owns Liberty Wine Merchants in London. His brother is a surgeon in Vancouver, and he's also a friend. And he calls me one day because they'd seen a thing on TV where my wine was selling for 950 US in restaurants in China. And he phones me up and he said, I'm here with my brother. He owns Liberty Wine Merchants in London. And we're just laughing at the fact that your wine's selling all over China at 950 US. And his brother David got on the phone and he said, you know, John, if you want to build your brand and your reputation, don't lose all your wine into the Chinese market. Get into London, get in front of Jancis Robinson, Stephen Spurrier, and get into New York, get in front of Eric Asimov. And those are the two primary markets. So I got into London, we got into Europe, that's done. Next step, I was getting into New York, and then COVID happened. So my blasted wine has been sitting in storage facility in New York for quite a while. I haven't been able to get back there. So what I'm doing now with Vijay is Vijay is going to be able to release. It's been very well stored, but she's going to be able to release some 2017s
nice.
To her network. Yeah, it's fabulous. So I really, we're just in discussions right now, but there's going to be an opportunity to show some wines in her market that I think are going to be putting us in a pretty good place.
It's funny, you think New York, but I immediately think of San Francisco. I think you are San Francisco through and through, not just because of its proximity to Napa, but having lived there, I know those streets, I know those restaurants, they would love your wines.
Yeah, we got a bit of a toehold there, thanks to Vijay. But if you go into Europe, it's really easy to get your wines in Europe. Getting into the US, every state has different rules. So it's not easy.
Sure.
So I'm going down that road. I'm trying to do it with a group of wineries so that we can get good at this together.
Of course.
So that our agencies have access. You know what, I've been president of the Okanagan Wine Initiative for a number of years. And the idea is, don't get out there and market Painted Rock, get out there and market Okanagan. Let them peel the onion and discover Painted Rock or Poplar Grove or 50th Parallel or Summerhill or Haywire or any of these wineries that are looking to get out on the international stage. I love working with these guys.
Yeah. Finally, John, do you have any concerns about the future, about the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years?
Yeah, I'm worried for my peers. I'm worried for my peers. And I think it's, you know, if you have a vintage when our production is going to be down by 54%, they say, and 29% of the plants are lost.
Yeah.
That's very, very affecting. So I think I would encourage, what I'd ask your audience, and come up, go to some of the small wineries, hit me up, I'll give you some recommendations. I love to support them and think local, because this is a time when we need to support this little industry. And, you know, we've got big guys up here, but we also have a whole lot of people who have contributed a whole lot to try to build the industry. And it's time we stay at home and drink local.
I love the idea of our wines heading south. Frankly, I'm only ever thinking of Washington. I just think I'd love to see that border free up a bit, but that's a whole nother matter.
Because they're very loyal to their community, though.
And we are to ours.
And we are to ours. Yeah, it's not that it's easier to jump and get into the Southern California market because we're different wines, and that's what, like, they will point out the acidity, which is, I mean, they have big ripe cabs, big ripe round, like all sorts of stuff, but we're just different. And happily, the world's starting to recognize that.
Thank you for your time, John.
Thank you for your time. I always enjoy it.
John Skinner, Painted Rock Wines, friends. Website?
PaintedRock.ca.
Of course. And there is a Painted Rock, but that's a whole other story. Thank you for this.
There is a Painted Rock.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Estate Winery on the Naramata Bench, one of the originals. They are thrilled to announce that their 2016 Mosaic recently received an outstanding 95 points from the one and only John Schreiner, Dean of Canadian Wine Writers. Mosaic, made with 5 of the 6 varieties allowed in the Bordeaux region of France, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. You can find all the details at hillsidewinery.ca. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards in Osoyoos. Have you ever wanted to join a wine club? This may very well be the one. 5 of their wines were made in small quantities and are available exclusively to wine club members. The Carmenere 2021, an Okanagan Carmenere. Contraband Syrah 2021. 2021 Eclipse, a sparkling Broussin-Marsan blend. Petit Verdot 2021 and Tenat 2019. So many perks. You can find all the details at mooncursor.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and we have finally come to one of the really interesting interviews that I've been waiting to do, and we found the right time. Vijay Gandhi is the CEO of Cascadia Wine Merchants. Canadian?
Yes.
Still.
Still Canadian.
where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Vancouver, Canada, actually, and I've lived there most of my life. So, it wasn't until 10 years ago that I moved to California, where I'd actually met my future husband, and 2 homes and twin babies later, where I'm still here.
So where is the current world headquarters for Cascadia?
Current world headquarters is the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yay. Well, we lived in Piedmont. Where are you living?
I'm currently in Los Gatos, California.
Nice. There's so many great places. We miss San Francisco. We miss it so much.
It is. It's beautiful.
So you're going to need some fog to roll in and cool things off down there right about now.
I'm actually looking forward to that because it gets warm here in July and August.
Now, I was caught by the fact that, first of all, it was Cascadia Wine Merchants and the K. Mm-hmm. In the K, there's a difference in... Okay, there's something else going on here. And then when I discovered that what you were actually doing was what I'd always dreamt someone would do, and that is sell and distribute and raise the profile of Canadian wines in America. How is that not, how it hasn't happened before is beyond me, and I'm glad you're doing it. How was this, how did you roll it out? How did it go?
You know what? Just as you, I am as excited that we've been able to roll this out, and it's kind of been a 5-year project for me. But initially when I moved out here, I mean, just like yourself, if you live in Vancouver, you've been to Okanagan Valley, sure, and you've gone wine tasting. And I had the pleasure of boating and growing up as a child and in my teens and my 20s, boating and wine tasting and things like that. So I was very familiar with the wine country in Canada. So when I moved out to California, lo and behold, it's actually quite disappointing when you sit down at a restaurant, you look at the menu and you're 100 restaurants in and you think, I can't believe there's no Canadian wine on here.
No, there'd be ice wine. You'd find ice wine, of course.
Ice wine, it's sparse. Once in a while, you see Enniskillen somewhere in a big department store or on a restaurant menu, but very, very rare. And I actually worked for the 2010 Olympics. I worked in finance. And during my time at the Olympics, I made many connections, especially with trade commissioners and global affairs. Sure. And I actually reached out to my friend. I'm going to do a shout out, Rob Arthurs, who still works in trade. And I said, hey, are you familiar with any Canadian or BC wine in particular in the US? And he's like, it's been tried. You know, these are some of the things that have gone on in the past. But what are you thinking? And I said, well, I think I'm going to pitch it to my husband, but I think I'm going to import it into the U.S. And the very first thing I did was reach out to a marketing firm in New York, actually, to get my data and stats on what was the consumer behavior when it came to imported wines and where were people purchasing the most. So I was pretty technical about my decision.
Well, now you had the same time. Mm-hmm. You got that started. You had to come to the Canadian wine industry and say, we'd like to represent you or certain well-chosen, well-tasted wines for distribution in the States. Mm-hmm. What was their reaction?
You know what? I'm so glad I met like-minded individuals that were passionate and currently seeking opportunities to export into the U.S. And I mean, that early on in the game, the best you can do is say, hey, I've got all my licensing and permits. But what was really wonderful is about where I was located was the Bay Area and so close to the Napa region. And one of the things that came up in our stats, outside of the fact that the U.S. was importing so much more wine, California happens to be the largest wine producer as well as consumer market. Yeah. So I looked at it as an opportunity as a very wine educated demographic. And so I thought it'd be a great starting point to introduce Canadian wine into the region. And that's what we did.
Well, and listen, you know, the first reaction is you have wine there. You don't, come on, it's frozen.
Oh, you don't live in igloos?
There's a wall of ice.
Yeah.
You have to pour those wines. Mm-hmm. For some people to believe that this is what's going on. Well, okay, how much did you make? How many choices do I have? We'll get to your portfolio, I promise. But mm-hmm. I know that every day for you is a sales job. You have to speak well of us, and then you have to say, you can only, listen, I believe in these wines. Try them. I think they'll sell themselves.
You know what? That was a really good point. I was at an event in New York, and that's where I really learned my big lessons what this event was, because that's right. Every day you have to be selling and pitching your business idea. But I actually am very passionate about what I'm doing, because maybe it's because I'm Canadian. I don't know. And when I looked at how U.S. producers were selling their wines to the audience and how we were selling our wines to the audience, I almost felt a bit like we're a little bit more shy and timid in the way we share our wines, especially with the international audience.
But something did happen. You know this, Vijay.
Yes.
All of a sudden, we got better.
Our wines
were simply not for...
We were
drinking our wines because they were there and they were handy and price-wise.
Yep.
But if we ever wanted to export our wines and be a wine nation, even on a small scale... You had to get your game together. And that's what we all of a sudden saw winemakers coming in from South Africa, from New Zealand, Australia, California, France, wherever you could find great winemakers. Come and give. And all of a sudden, we planted the right grapes. Everything worked. Everything worked.
Absolutely.
And now you have wine to sell.
Sorry?
Now you have wine to sell.
Yes. And that was one of the big things too. It's production had gone up. The quality had gone up. We had so many folks, like you said, coming in from different parts of the world. And so once we were able to get our pitch right, it sold itself. We just had to get it in the right hands.
I started to make a list on the right-hand side of my note page of all of the wineries that aren't on your page that I would recommend. Anyway, that's...
Oh, absolutely. I'm always taking recommendations. Oh, well,
I'm sure you've heard these names before. However, it's Cascadia Wine Merchants, and they're open for business in the United States. And I saw on your page...
Yes.
A little note that came up that said, someone has just ordered Canadian wine in Woodlands, Texas, from Cascadia. They happen to be listeners to my music show called Mulligan Stew. They're Canadians that live in Woodland, Texas, just outside of Houston. And I told them about you. And all of a sudden, boom, it's on the screen.
I appreciate it. See, this is teamwork makes the dream work.
It's a small world.
It is amazing. Well, you know what? We ship to 45 U.S. states now. So sometimes I'm looking at our platform to see where the sales are coming in from. And it's like a town you would never expect, like in Ohio or something. And I think recently shipped to Hawaii.
I would think that Washington and Oregon would be interested in us because we're in the same community, right? We don't see a lot of Oregon wines here. We see a lot of Washington wines here and vice versa. You can't find our wines in Washington or Oregon. I'm thinking that they would be interested. Are they?
Oh, absolutely. We have consumers all along the Pacific Northwest. Actually, some of our new club signups are from Washington and Oregon, because that's what we're offering is the best of the, best of the best of Canadian wines as well as Pacific Northwest.
That's a very nice segue. She is Vijay Gandhi. She is the CEO of Cascadia Wine Merchants. It flows trippingly off the tongue. It's her passion and her belief in Canadian wines. Now, I just started to look at some of your wines just to see what was open in the portfolio. You start with, I won't start with the one that's at the top left-hand corner. I'll get to that. Phantom Creek, for example, Phantom Creek, which is a gorgeous building. Have you seen that winery?
I have yet to make it there. I hope to visit sometime soon.
Astonishing. It's huge.
Oh, I bet.
And it's sitting on the very best growing area in all of the Okanagan, it took a lot of money to do that.
Right.
And then they hired Mark Behringer from the Behringer family. And he is now making wines, a Californian making wines in the Okanagan Valley.
Mm-hmm. You know what? That just says it all. That when we were just chatting about, look at the folks that are coming into the Okanagan Valley. Yeah. I mean, Behringer Vineyards, everybody knows that family. And I mean, the accolades are there. And that's why I didn't hesitate when Phantom Creek reached out for to go through samples. I said, let's sit down and really look at this. And you know what? Their wines are doing phenomenal already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just a perfect audience for them.
Yeah, that's top level. Clos du Soleil.
Mm-hmm.
They do it their way, and they have incredible wines and fans. And people, the toughest thing in the world is to get people to actually come back year after year after year, because everything, all the climates change. You have to make great wine every year. Consistency from Clos du Soleil.
Michael Clark is very informative when it comes to the BC wine industry to start, but he's a fantastic winemaker and he's really showing those wines from the Similkameen Valley. And actually the reason why Clos du Soleil landed in our portfolio is because there was a client on Twitter that was having like a Twitter war with me and said, please begin importing Clos du Soleil. And so I reached out to Michael and I said, there's someone that will not stop hounding me on Twitter to bring your wines here. Can you please just ship me your sample? Let's get started. He might show up at my house. Yeah, I know. He has an amazing follower. And year after year, we just keep importing Clos du Soleil.
Another great choice, Vijay, is Meyer family. When you're talking about Canadian Chardonnay, although the Chardonnay, all the growers are meeting in Ontario right now. They have a gathering of all of the Chardonnay makers in Canada, and then awards are handed out right about now. So Meyer family are head and shoulders just one of the great Chardonnay makers in the country.
Absolutely. I think that when I first began importing wines into the U.S., I was working with John Skinner from Painted Rock, and I was
Yep.
working with Jack Myers from Meyer Family
Yeah.
Vineyards. And what a great starting point.
I don't see any painted rock there.
You know what? We're actually doing replenishment very soon.
Okay, because my next interview after you is with John Skinner at Painted Rock.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Well, you tell him I said hi.
The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor Vineyards in Osoyoos. Have you ever wanted to join a wine club? This may very well be the one. Five of their wines were made in small quantities and are available exclusively to wine club members. The Carmenere 2021, an Okanagan Carmenere. Contraband Syrah 2021. 2021 Eclipse, a sparkling Broussin Marsan blend. Petit Verdot 2021 and Tanat 2019. So many perks. You can find all the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the Okanagan Wine Festivals. If you go to their website, there is a page full of festivals on Dolcetto and Bastille and Bench Dinner Tasting, the Faro in the Vineyard, the Kelowna Polo Classic, the Festival of Albarino, and then mark your calendars for Silver Star Wine Festival, Rock the Lake Music Festival, and the Ambleside Music Festival. All the details can be found at thewinefestivals.com. Vijay Gandhi is the CEO of Cascadia Wine Merchants, based in California. And this company is selling, distributing, and making fans of Canadian wine. Now, Black Swift, do you know how crazy they are?
I love them because they're crazy.
They're crazy. And their wines are fantastic. And
Yes.
I have this belief that and I don't really mean crazy. I mean, they're very interesting and very different. They take wine from a different a think. And anybody who is interesting making wines, I want to taste that wine because it is going to be different. It's and Black Swift is fantastic.
It's fantastic. I think we still have their Syrah in our portfolio. Actually, one of the first wines that I'd ever tasted growing up was at the Hatch,
Yeah.
the Bianco, actually, which is funny. And then, of course, same winemaker, Jason Parks. But Jason is brilliant, and he really knows what he's doing, and he's worked with so many different vineyards in BC, and he just gets it right every single time. So without hesitation, I will always work with his wines.
Have you seen his new winery buildings?
Oh, the Black Swift one, or is it
Yeah,
another
well,
one?
it
Oh,
looks
Crown and
like,
Thieves.
yeah, that the speakeasy downstairs. It just looks like
Right.
like an old movie set that's crumbled at the
Oh, it's
top.
so
Oh,
cool.
fantastic.
Yeah, so cool.
You have schooled me on quartz and yarrow.
Yes, so Quartz and Yarrow is new to our portfolio. That is through Phantom Creek, and we are just learning a little bit more about it ourselves. But Quartz and Yarrow, I believe, is on the organic side. We've just imported, I believe, is it one bottle or two bottles in? But I'm excited to see how it does in the market, because you know what? Folks out here are very excited about organic wines, biodynamic practices, and completely new to the portfolio, but we're excited.
When you left, the Similkameen Valley was, we knew where they were and what they were doing. It's the place now. It's their
Oh no,
turn. It's their turn.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, I actually visited Clos du Soleil before I imported from there, and I remember just standing by outside the tasting room and looking around and thinking this is so
Amazing.
majestic.
Amazing. And
Yeah.
now we come to Q&A.
Yes.
Yay!
The one I'm most excited about
Yeah.
right now. Absolutely. And you know what? I have been working with Michael Mosney for several years now. He's one of what I feel the best winemakers coming out of Canada, and it's because he's so genuine, true to his style. And we have a fan base for Winemakers Cut, and we have for several years. So when he explained the project about Q&A, I was absolutely excited, but I knew he would make amazing wines and that the three of you guys would do an amazing job.
Did he tell you the story of how we got together?
Yes, that he
Yeah.
watched your
Yeah.
show.
And they
And
moved to the Okanagan because of what they saw on the screen
talk about serendipity.
and
That's
changed
how
their
it happened.
lives. And then we got to make this Bordeaux blend. But I got to tell you, the white has my heart.
It is
Marsan Broussan
beautiful.
Viognier. Oh, I love
Yes,
it.
yes. You know, I sampled them in November last year. I was doing a presentation out in Penticton, and I had the chance to sample both wines. And I was sitting down with a friend, Tanya, and we were just mind blown. We were absolutely mind blown. And I said, I can't wait to get this across the border. So now, just so that everybody knows, you can purchase Q&A wines in the US. We ship directly to your door to 45 states.
I've been asked quite a bit. Actually, Jason Priestley is our partner and my friend, and he lives in Nashville, and he's being asked all the time.
Oh, I bet.
How they can get their hands on Q&A. So
send them the link to the website. You know what? Send them a link to our page. They'll read all about you, buy the wines, and it's just as easy as putting it in your cart and hitting purchase, and it'll be at your front door.
Cool.
Within a week.
Okay. Vijay Gandhi is the CEO of Cascadia Wine Merchants, based in California, San Francisco Bay Area. And this company is selling, distributing, and making fans of Canadian wine. We just had to get our game together, and we have, and it's all working out. It's a small, it'll roll out slowly. Who knows what happens 10 years from now, Vijay? You don't know. You don't know what, something's going to trip it. Something, there will be one particular wine that will set things in motion. Don't quite know what it is yet. Have you heard from Ontario?
Yes, we are. We're starting to dabble more and more into Ontario. We have a couple of fantastic sparkling wines, including we have a sparkling wine from 13th Street Winery, which did really well last year in the awards and has is really known for sparkling, actually. And we are hoping to bring in more from other provinces as well. You've got to mention?
Nova Scotia.
Yes, absolutely.
Their bubble, Benjamin Bridge.
Yes,
Lacadie,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Wolfville.
I'm gonna jot these names down.
No. It's it. They just decided they knew exactly what they could grow with the weather that they had, and it was bubble. Let's make bubble. And it's the same project and the same thinking as what's happened in the south of England, where all of a sudden they see the heat units come up, and they know what they're going to plant and do, and they're creating incredible bubble. So, and the other names I was mentioning, or at least easily writing down, were Orofino, Unsworth, right behind me, Painted Rock, Hillside, one of the originals on the Naramata Bench, Tantalus, incredible. Yes. Spearhead, the best Pinot Noir in the country.
Spearhead, we're bringing them in this month, actually.
Moon Cursor, who are crazy people, and I love them dearly. And
Beta.
A huge portfolio, yes.
Yes.
And Fairview Cellars, just up the road, Big Reds, on the Golden Mile.
That's what it, you know, you're the second individual to mention that to me in the last month.
Fairview Cellars. We will begin this dialogue, and if people have recommendations, how do they get a hold of you?
I have been receiving more and more communication from wineries that are interested in exporting into the U.S. I think it's important for me to mention that I do offer consulting services as well, because there's a massive education piece.
No kidding.
That is at play.
You have to
online.
Get through all the paperwork.
Yes. Oh. And I do know how to do all of that with my eyes closed. So what I've been working with wineries over the years to show them the ropes. But now as we're getting bigger and busier, I will be doing more training, more, and facilitating them to learn the ropes.
I have so many questions.
Go for it.
No, I'm trying to separate my Q&A self from my broadcast self. My broadcast says, have you thought about, and Rita, it would be a pain to do, have you thought about a Canadian pour locally in San Francisco just to wake up the Bay Area?
Oh, like a tasting event, like a trade tasting? Yep. Actually, you know what? We do host trade tastings every once in a while. One year, actually, we hosted a trade tasting in the financial district. Somehow, Terry, they figured out how to build a wine cave into the 10th floor in a building in the financial district. We had a cheesemonger. We had all of our Canadians wines out. And actually, we did pretty well that night. But we are always going to do things like that.
Did John Skinner at Painted Rock happen to tell you about how they romanced London, England?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? John has just, other than being someone I've been, you know, bringing wines in from, he's a friend, he's a mentor. I have so much respect for John and the work he's done to help Canadians export their wines, and especially London. Yeah. And we've been working together for years, so I'm excited to replenish his wines. But he has mentioned things to me in the past.
And they're doing well. I think there were 8 or 10 original wineries, and they're doing they're doing great sales there. They're now in being poured in restaurants by the glass.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of opportunity. And you know what? That's when I looked at things like that, Terry, I really it just struck me to think, like, we share a border with the U.S. Why are we not selling in the U.S.? And now we have Winemaker's Cup pouring in a Michelin star restaurant in downtown San Francisco, which I hope we can get Q&A into. And there's just so much opportunity. I think it really takes to dot dot your I's and cross your T's and just find the right people.
There is a wine store.
Right.
In San Francisco called Tofino.
Tofino Wines. I've recently been there. Yeah, we were
and
looking
as
at
I understand, they are there. Canadian. One of them is a Canadian.
Right.
Which would make a great place for your Canadian wines.
You know what's funny? We just visited, is it 2 months ago, the space and the store to see if we could host an event there.
Wonderful. And of course, I told you about Liam Makelam, my KCBS foodie chap, who is the fundraising MC. If you want to raise funds and you need an MC and an auctioneer, he's the guy. But beyond that, that's just one of the things that's happened to him. He still does KCBS and he still does food, and he wants to do a story on you for them in San Francisco.
Oh, cool. I'm in. Anything I can do to spread the good word about Canadian wine?
The wine club.
Mm-hmm.
The wine club. I like that idea. There's O Canada. There's Cascadia 4 and Cascadia 6. Perhaps you can explain.
The O Canada includes four Canadian wines, and that's for our Canadian savvy folks.
Sure.
The Cascadia 4 and Cascadia 6 are split between Pacific Northwest and Canadian wines.
Think about it, friends. If you have friends in the States, mm-hmm, who come up and taste our wines and wish they could get them or take them back. And you can tell them now, if just write down the word Cascadia with a K, follow that, Google that, go get that. And you can find Canadian wines in America at your front door. Simple as that. Take a look at the list. I know that list is, your portfolio list is going to grow, yeah?
It's always growing. I think now increasingly so because of our club launch. Expect to see something new every quarter, and whether it's Pacific Northwest or Canada, but of course that's our niche. We're Canadian wine importer. I think we're one of the only ones that do that out here. And I think we're going to keep growing, Terry. I actually think there's a long road ahead of us. I think we're doing fantastic. We're going to change the narrative to North American wine.
Okay, North American wines. And we'll continue to, on our part, make better and better wines.
Merci beaucoup. And you know what? We really want to look into how we're going to launch a Q&A here in the U.S. And I think Michael and I have talked about maybe a winemaker's dinner out here. And there's some perfect little spots for that to happen.
Well, one of us is already there.
Right.
Our mutual friend, Liam Makelam, will find us the best room and the best chef to do it.
Fantastic.
It'll be quite a night.
And everybody, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, keep me posted on the plans because I'm here to support you guys.
Thank you. Vijay Gandhi, CEO and co-founder of Cascadia Wine Merchants. The website is?
CascadiaWineMerchants.com.
Instagram, same?
Cascadia Wine Merchants, yep. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
Vijay Gandhi, CEO of Cascadia Wine Merchants in San Francisco, Cascadia with a K. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie Estate Winery in West Kelowna, with some of the oldest vineyards in British Columbia, dating back as far as 1968. Mount Boucherie offers a portfolio of estate-grown, handcrafted wines that pair perfectly with everyday life. You can find details on Modest Butcher, Kitchen and Market, how to shop wine online, tasting room hours and tours, and the luxury accommodation. All the details at mountboucherie.com.